Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I was told that I didn't really have to preach today, that there were others that could do it. I felt like that's already been done. So let me share with you a little bit about what God has done with me. You know, when I was a child, and yes, I once was a young child. I was born, not hatched. And it wasn't when the dinosaurs were running around either. But when I was a little tiny tot, my father and grandfather taught me to fish. We were not commercial fishermen, we were sports fishermen. But we ate what we caught. And our lunch or dinner often depended on how well we caught the fish and how well we fixed them. And so at an early age, I understood well enough to do it, how to clean a fish and how to cook a fish, how to bait a hook. These were the things that I learned as I was a young boy running through the hills of Lake Travis, just above Austin. One day, I left home. I didn't leave home for long. I left it just for a day or two. Went to a Royal Ambassador's camp on Lake Travis. So I wasn't far from my home. And I sat there and listened to missionaries call out to me. At least I felt like they were calling out to me. There were hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of kids there. But I was sitting in the back row, and it seemed like they were talking directly to me. Now, I had received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But that day, I got hooked on Jesus. And I could feel Him winding me in. All the way from the back of that auditorium, I went down to the front aisle. And I gave myself to Him, saying, I want to become a fisher of men. I want to go into foreign lands and tell people about Jesus. You know, I had had one experience receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, being baptized. But this was a deeper call, as He seemed to know my name and called me to be a missionary. You know, that act of submission, which I tried to put away, my family tried to put it away. I mean, after all, I was only 9 years old, and I suddenly started getting all kinds of things from the Southern Baptist Convention. My parents were shocked, because I hadn't gone home and said, oh, by the way, I've decided to become a missionary. No. And I started getting all this literature, and they wrote back and they said, look, kid's just 9 years old. They kind of poo-pooed it, and I kind of put it on the back burner. But God never did. God had placed in my heart that day something very special. I was hooked on Jesus. And I was going to follow Him. Oh, it didn't mean that I was going to be perfect. There were lots of times when I wandered off the reservation, so to speak. But I always came back. And he was always waiting for me. Because he had called me by my name. He had hooked me. And I was following him. You know, I'm sure that many people are sitting and saying, well, it's not like it used to be in the old days. Well, no. It's not. But let me tell you what is true. What is true is that Jesus is still making new things. He said, I make all things new. He always has. He always does. He always will. He makes all things new. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, out of my weakness and my pains, I ask you, Father, to speak not a ragged message, but a message that is for the heart of those who you call. May they hear clearly what you say. Father, cast me out of that equation. May nothing I say that is of me be ever remembered again. But Father, those things that are from you, may they be the things that enter our hearts. They are the things of power. They are the words of life and death. They are the words that make all things new. And we have come to hear those words today, Father, in whatever language we speak. Speak to us in your language of love today. May each of us know that we're in your presence. And there's no safer place to be in all the world than in the hollow of your hand. Father, may we have that blessed assurance today. Speak to us. Move us, shake us. Do whatever you want to with us, Father. For we are yours. We have come this day to offer ourselves to you for your use. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verses 14 through 20. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called to them. They left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. This is a very interesting story, isn't it? It seems to say that no matter what we're engaged in, we're to drop it. Just drop it. Just stop doing what you're doing and listen. Jesus is calling, saying, follow me, to each and every one of us. That's what Jesus was doing. He called out two. He called them by name, and they left their nets. They were commercial fishermen, and they turned away from everything they had known, everything that had brought them comfort, and they followed Jesus into an unknown, into a place where they were simply going to become something they'd never been before. They trusted in the voice they heard, even though at this point they hadn't seen any miracles. But they followed. They followed not because of what they saw. They weren't led to Jesus through the gospel. You know, too often we think that people first have to do this and do that and do this and do that. No, to become hooked on Jesus, all you have to do is realize that He is the gospel. And He starts off walking down the beach. I've been to Galilee. It's a place where you wouldn't think was holy ground, really, when you first look at it. Tiberias is on one side. It's a city built to an emperor of another land, Tiberias. It had kind of bad beginnings because they inscripted people to come and work there. Basically, the city was built by soldiers who were there. They did things that were corrupt. A good Jew couldn't be buried there, couldn't work there. It was a place that was considered filthy. And yet, it's there today, on the side of the Galilee, no doubt. It was there as Jesus walked by. Jesus walks by. He walks down past the boats of Zebedee. Zebedee was a upper middle class person. Poor people didn't eat fish. They didn't have the money. And so he had boats and servants. And Jesus walks by these people that seem to have it all together, and He says to them, come, follow me. Immediately, they turn their back on a life that is filled with comfort, and they leave their father in the company of servants. They walk away from the task that they are at hand, the task that they're doing, mending the nets, and they follow Jesus. Begin to see a pattern here? They become hooked on Jesus, and they follow Him. Not because the Gospels have been written, they won't be written for a number of years. Not because He's done miracles in their sight, they haven't seen any. They only know that John the Baptist was taken to prison. That's all they know. But Jesus comes and presents Himself to them and says, come, follow me. And so Jesus is walking down the beach, first with two people following Him, and then with four people following Him. And then, as Paul Harvey says, comes the rest of the story, and you know what happens. The 12 men that follow Jesus out of the original four, and then there are many millions of people that have followed Him throughout history, following Jesus, hooked on Jesus. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. All of you. All of us. There is nobody They can't be a fisherman. You can fish with your toes. I love Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea. You see an old man and he's fishing with a line. And he's hooked into a great fish. And the old muscles in his arms are old and weary. And his hands bleed because he's trying to reel in this fish with his hands. His hands cramp up and it goes night after night after night after night. Seeking this big fish who's pulling the boat further and further away into the sea. Each of us can be like that man, tenacious, never giving up, pulling in the fish. Didn't make any difference who they were. It hasn't made any difference over history. Doesn't make any difference if you're black or white or Hispanic, if you're Asian, Middle Eastern. Doesn't seem to make any difference at all. It doesn't make any difference at all whatever class you came from, rich or poor or middle class, whether you were a young man like I was or an older man who comes from a middle class fishing family like James was. We're all pulled in. All of us hooked on Jesus. All of us pulled toward Him. Doesn't make any difference what class we came out of. In India, they say that they're untouchables. We've been called the deplorables. The unredeemables. The wretched, the ignorant. The stupid. It doesn't seem to make any difference. God receives all of us from wherever we are. May all follow Jesus. God receives those who follow Jesus without prejudice because they were hooked on Jesus and followed Him. People follow Jesus, they think, because they've read the gospel. You follow Jesus because He is the gospel. His teachings open eyes and ears to the purposes that He has laid out from the beginning of the time for each of us. He has known us always. When we were in our mother's wombs, He knew us. We follow Him because He's Master. But who are they? Who are those who follow Him? Well, they're people just like you and me. They're people that don't always do what He tells them to do at first. We're all ignorant. We're all weak. We're all deplorables. And we would be unredeemable unless God sent His own Son to redeem us. We're just fish out of water. Have you ever seen anyone throw a net into the waves? You know, I have. What is a net? A net is a line like we get hooked on Jesus by, but it's lots of little separate lines that are woven together and made into a great net that's weighted at the bottom. And when people cast it in, it sinks to the bottom and they pull back, not knowing what's going to be in there when they get back. They pull back. It could be anything. It could be an old shark. It could be an eel. Could be a red snapper. Could be anything. You know, I've stood and watched people as they cast their nets off the side of the boat or cast their nets into the sea. and whatever they catch, and I've stood there watching, curious as to what they would bring forward out of that dark, stormy sea. But whatever they catch, whether it's large or small, all fish out of water behave the same. Once they're cast onto the beach, they flip and flop around like we do. They flip and flop around. And they try to escape back into the water. And if they're not put into some kind of water pretty quick, they're just going to die. That's what happens to you and I. We're pulled out of the depths of our sin. And we may flip and flop around because we have the choice to hear the still small voice of God saying, "Peace, be still. I'm going to breathe into you the breath of life. I'm going to make you a new creature. I'm going to create in you something that is totally different. You're going to be able to inherit eternal life through me." Wow! So we're not just like fish out of water unless we choose to be. We can choose to be drawn in out of our sins and laid at the foot of the cross, and we can flip and flop around and choose not to be put into the Master's hand. We can do that. We're not choosing very wisely, but we can do that. We get hooked on Jesus, and He draws us up. And here's the good news. He wants all of us to be new creatures. He makes all things new. Doesn't make you any difference your age. I've seen older people come to Christ, seen younger people come to Christ, seen middle class people come to Christ, seen poor people come to Christ. I've seen all kinds of people come to Christ. Doesn't make any difference what you're wearing. Doesn't make any difference how many hairs you've got on your head, if you've got any left. It doesn't make any difference. None of that makes any difference. God wants each of us to know Him. And He's willing to make us like Himself so that we can know Him as we are known. It doesn't make any difference to God if you're a teenage Latino, or if you're Anglo, you have white hair. It doesn't make any difference. You may understand that as you come out of the water, you are helpless. You're out of your comfort zone. You're out of the place where you went to school with fishes. And now you're going to hear the greatest teacher of all times teach you something that is totally different, totally strange, and you may feel like, "Oh no, that's too much, that's too weird for me, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to receive by faith, by stepping out and going for it, what is laid before you." But you can. You might feel helpless. Things that are going on around you may seem like they're just totally out of control. And they are out of your control. They're not out of God's. God is in His heaven and He is in control. Oh, we have in the culture around us all the seeds of the fears and anxieties we have. We have violence. Do we not think we have violence? Of course we have violence. Lots of women felt that violence, but they didn't realize that there was violence against the little girls that were to be born, that were being cared in them. And they want their will, not God's will. They don't understand. We have violence, we have drug dependency, we have all kinds of negative things happening to us. We have the ravages of old age. My goodness gracious. Even I felt those this last week. Being able to relinquish control of a car and letting Sandra drive instead of me was one of the big ways. Then I thought, oh my gosh, and I remembered that God said to Peter, one of these days you'll be carried to places you don't want to go. I was carried to doctors and every place else I didn't want to go. But that's the way it was. You relinquish to that and you have those challenges. You have the dumbing down of our education system. You have so much going on. The reality that many of us choose every single solitary week whether we're going to take the very expensive medicine. And believe me, the medicine is very expensive. Or we're going to eat. We have a choice. What are you going to do with the limited funds you have? Maybe we feel like the standards that we once felt so comfortable with are crumbling down around our ears. It looks like you can't depend on family or anybody else like you used to. Seems like everybody's doing their own thing. It seems like we have wars, environmental disasters, terrorism. These things are beyond my ability to change them in such a way. But they're not out of God's. God can give us peace in the midst of the storm. But if you've ever had such fears, the good news is found in Jesus. He alone can calm the waters of your life. He alone can give you life and hope and exuberance and the things that we want and we desire. He knows the desires of your heart. He wants to give you all good things. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to have life and life abundant. He wants you to have it all. But you've got to give your all to Him. By taking that step of faith into an unknown future where you haven't seen Jesus do a miracle yet. Maybe He hadn't done one in your life yet. Maybe you're walking in here today with all the sins of the world piled on your back. We sang, cast your cares upon Jesus. Well, that's the message. Cast your cares upon me, Jesus. Be hooked on Him. You can go into the unknown future because you're following the one who has the future in His hands. By being hooked on Jesus, Jesus will draw you out of your comfort zone and into the brightness of His glory, and you'll probably need sunglasses there because you ain't seen nothing yet. When you see the brightness of His glory, it is such that we throw our hands up. We may flip and flop. We just don't know what to do. But when we hear His voice saying, peace, be still, I will make all things new. I will create in you a new creature that my breath will sustain throughout eternity. Oh, we want everything to be done right now. And God is quite capable of doing it. Right now, He can take away every pain we have in our bodies. But we want His will to be done, as in this little sketch that we heard. We want Our Father, who art in heaven, to have His name hallowed, not ours. We want Him to do things for us, but we don't want to do anything for Him. We need to follow Jesus. We need to get hooked on Jesus. Now, the way you do that is this. I have never, well, on one occasion I caught a fish where the hook wasn't in his mouth, it was in his gill. I don't know how I did that. I just bumped up against it, I guess. That is truly an anomaly. But in order to get hooked on Jesus, you have to open up your heart, open up your mouth, open up yourself, and let Him hook you. He's going to draw you into Him. You have to be willing to be hooked. Are you hooked on Jesus? Will you follow Him and let Him make you a fisher of men? You know, in my life, I have done a lot of flipping and flopping around. I told God that I would be His missionary. I fought against going to other countries. But He has brought other countries to us. You can flip and flop, as I did. You can become the prodigal son so that every time people open the dictionary and look at prodigal, they see your face shining back at them. But what you want is to see the face of God smiling back whenever they open that book and see that your name is written there. You're not just a trophy on a wall. He wants to create in you a new creature, a creature that will live forever and ever and ever and ever with Him. Salvation is simple. Anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's what it says in this book. Not anything for you to do. It doesn't say anyone who believes in the gospel. It says anyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. Otherwise, we're just thrown back in the water and allowed to live our lives the way we want to live it. Going to the school of the world. Eat and be eaten. Or we can choose to step out into an unknown future following someone we have never met. When He says, come, follow Me. Pick up your cross and follow Me. Pick up your burdens, your everything you have. Cast off every security you have. Follow Me. Don't try to build up things for yourself here. Place your treasures in heaven. Jesus said that. Jesus loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me. He wants only the best for us. And so today we're going to, with his help, cast out the net. We don't know what will come back. But we are told that when we cast our bread upon the water, it will not come back void. And so we're going to do that today. Let anybody who will, let anybody who wants to, be drawn into Jesus today.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 11:05 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.